Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, the Packers have another AFC South opponent on Sunday for the second week in a row, the Tennessee Titans. Green Bay will be traveling to Nashville for the first time since 2008, since Aaron Rodgers' first year as a starting quarterback. And when you look at the Titans' offense, the face of the franchise, quarterback Marcus Mariota, the number one draft pick from a couple of years ago, he's the guy, so to speak. But the bread and butter for this offense is running back DeMarco Murray, and they've got a rushing offense that that is to be reckoned with here. Got to
give Tennessee's front office a lot of credit, Mike. Finding DeMarco Murray, determining that he still had a lot left after a down, really turbulent year with the Philadelphia Eagles. He has been lightning in a bottle for their offense, and although it obviously isn't Jeff Fisher there anymore, that's just been such a staple of Titans football for the last 15 years is the run game, and again, an offense that's built around the run. They did that with him. You know, Derrick Henry, a nice prospect they have developing behind him, the former Alabama running back. So it's sort of a nice 1-2 punch, but with certainly when you look at how much they're running the ball, it's not been as prestigious as what Dallas has done, but it's in the same vein in terms of what they're trying to accomplish when the ball gets snapped.
Yeah, for sure. It's their focus. You mentioned Dallas. DeMarco Murray, I believe, is number two in the league in rushing yards behind Ezekiel Elliott for the Cowboys. As a team, the Titans are ranked third in the league in rushing offense, and the Packers are no stranger to DeMarco Murray on an individual basis. He's had two 100-plus yard rushing games against the Packers, one in 2013 down in Dallas and the other one in the 2014 playoffs here at Lambeau Field. So it's sort of the cliche, obviously, that the defensive game plan starts with trying to stop the run, but it's the absolute truth in this game with this rushing attack.
Yeah, and it is interesting, as I just pulled up the stats now. I mean, he's already surpassed his rushing total in 15 games last season and with 20 less carries. So it just shows you exactly what he's done and how they've been able, and Mike Mularkey's offense, been able to kind of get things going again for him and really providing a nice change of pace with Marcus Mariota. And when you look at when he was successful at Oregon and in the way that, you know, you need to compliment him, it starts with the running back. And they found that guy in Murray. And there's been some ups and downs at certain points this season. But overall, I mean, this has turned into a pretty good formidable punch for them.
Yeah, and as we've seen with the Dallas Cowboys, there is no better friend to a young, developing quarterback than a power running game. And Marcus Mariota, now in his second year coming out of Oregon, his everything about him statistically is improving. He's a player on the rise. He's developing into the player I think the Titans envisioned when they spent that number two overall draft pick on him after Jameis Winston was taken by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Titans don't necessarily have a bunch of big-name wide receivers that jump out at you. Rishard Matthews, I believe, is their leading receiver at this point. But Mariota's development is what this organization is focused on for the long term, and they have to like what they've seen so far.
Yeah, and while they don't have household names at receiver, I really do like Delanie Walker at tight end.
Absolutely.
I've been a big fan of him for a number of years. He's actually on my fantasy team right now. but that's what you've seen, Mike. I mean, we've kind of seen this pattern. You talk about a young running back being paired or young quarterback being paired with a running back. A lot of these young guys also having a go-to tight end. Walker is that guy in this offense. Now, he's dealt with some health issues here the last two seasons, but overall, a very consistent presence, still runs very well for his age. And from Mariota's perspective, everybody knew he was fast coming out of college. Everybody knew he had the winning pedigree there. But now, I think I've been really impressed by what I've seen in terms of him guiding that offense and just being that leader and consistent. He was, much like Jameis Winston, was thrown in there right into the fire right off the bat. And they've been able to turn around the fortunes this year. And you can at least kind of see the glimmer of hope now for the Titans after, you know, a few lean years.
Yeah, and give that team some credit because nobody was expecting them to really win four games all season, let alone be 4-5 after nine games as they are. I believe as a franchise, they won only five games in the previous 2 years combined. They had a 2-14 and a 3-13 year there. And a lot of prognostications were, you know, oh, they'll have another 3-13 year while, you know, Mariota continues to get his feet wet in the NFL, so to speak. But this is a team that, yeah, they're one game below 500, but they even showed last week against San Diego, they fell behind by a couple of touchdowns early, and they did not fold up the tents at all. They battled the San Diego Chargers all the way to the end in a very tight, high-scoring ballgame.
In what arguably could be the most entertaining game of the week, you know, this past week in terms of what they brought to the table. And I think, you know, you talked about that kind of rough patch they went through, Ken Wisenhunt being let go early in the season last year. You know, Mike Mularkey only went 2-7 as the interim coach, but they saw something there. They saw the team kind of rally around him a little bit, and they stuck with him. Now, again, still a young team, still a lot of improvement to go, but there's all the pieces are there, I think, for a team in the AFC South to start coming on and really become what many people have expected them to be.
Yeah, for sure. Well, after the break, we'll turn our attentions to the defensive side of the ball for the Tennessee Titans. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, turning our attention to the defensive side of the ball for the Tennessee Titans. I guess typical of a 3-4, a Dick LeBeau type of scheme, it kind of starts with the two pass rushers off the edge, and the Titans have a couple of good ones in Derek Morgan and Brian Arakpo, two former first-round, top 20 draft picks. Morgan, a homegrown, you know, Nashville, Tennessee Titans draft pick, and Arakpo coming over as a free agent from the Washington Redskins. And these are the two guys, really, that they build their defense around.
Arakpo was a really good signing for them, and he was coming off, I think that was a pectoral injury at the time in which they signed.
Yeah, I believe he
suffered, actually, against the Titans during his last year with Washington. So they were kind of assuming some risk when they gave him that four-year contract. But as it turns out, he's been the perfect complement to Morgan, and now that Dick LeBeau is in there, both of those guys really tailor-made for that 3-4 zone blitz scheme. And Morgan, I love the guy's size. You know, 6'4", 260 pounds, exactly how you draw it up at that position.
And, for sure.
And those guys work in unison. I mean, you're talking about a defense right now that's fifth in the league in sacks. Again, something that you would expect from a Dom Capers, Dick LeBeau-type defense. And really, that's where it all starts up front. Jarrell Casey, too, has been just an amazing player for them. Really been versatile in terms of how he's been able to adapt into what LeBeau runs and the success he's had in the past. I mean, he's had a 10-sack season before. Kind of reminds me, in a way, of Mike Daniels. I mean, they're two different players, but, you know, not your prototypical big, massive defensive tackle, but gets the job done, and they find ways, and they pressure the quarterback, and really that's where it starts.
Yeah, Jarrell Casey is a guy, I was going to mention him as well. He's an impressive big body active guy in the middle of that defensive line, and you need those active guys in the trenches to get things done. We don't really know at this stage what maybe the shape of the Packers running game is going to be in heading into Sunday, whether, you know, Ty Montgomery, will James Starks be back, we'll sort that out as the week goes along. But but this is a pretty decent defensive front here for Tennessee. And, you know, I would think that the Packers would probably try to attack that secondary where, as we mentioned with Titans receivers, not a lot of household names in their defensive backfield, but it's still going to come down to protecting Aaron Rodgers because it's not going to be easy to just drop back and throw the ball 50 times against these guys.
Yeah, no question, Mike. I mean, they have Jason McCourty. He's in his eighth season now and obviously made some noise in the league. Parrish Cox came over 2 years ago from San Francisco. It was one of those late signings, I remember, in that free agent period where there were so many of cornerbacks kind of flushed in the market. So there are names back there in terms of, you know, guys that you have to be be aware of, but I think when you look at this offensive line, it probably starts with David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga being able to keep Arakpo and Morgan off of them. It seems, for whatever reason, to me, it just seems like the Packers are always playing Brian Arakpo. I mean, I think that's probably dumb. They probably only played him like once or twice, but it seems like I've talked about him. I remember, you know, kind of going back and looking at his game a lot over the past few years. But whatever the case may be, this is going to be one of those instances in which the Packers know this defense well. I mean, they see a variation of it a lot. And
no question.
You got to give, we'll probably talk about LeBeau here in a little bit, but you got to give credit to him. 79 years old, much like Dom Capers, finding a way to adapt that zone blitz scheme into something that works for the Titans. Mullarkey saw the value in it. Ken Wisenhunt saw the value in it. And they've been committed to it over the past 2 years. And I think with some of the stats you're seeing right now with the Titans, they're starting to reap some of the benefits of it as well.
Yeah, they coming off of, I guess you'd have to consider it a bit of a rough game defensively against San Diego.
Yeah.
As we talked about, that game kind of turned into an offensive shootout. I think San Diego's defense actually scored two in that game, so maybe not all of all those points for the Chargers should be charged to Tennessee's defense. But but an up and down unit that that you know is going to be well coached with Dick LeBeau at the helm. And with the Packers, for all of their fits and starts on offense, and when you think maybe something's working, and then things don't go so well against the Colts, against a Colts team that wasn't bringing any sort of a stellar defense into Lambeau Field, Packers have a lot of stuff to sort out here. And in a sense, I almost feel like it's not even so much about Tennessee's
sure.
defense; it's
right.
about what the Packers are going to find to do on offense to hang their hat on, regardless of the opponent at this point.
Yeah, and that's really the thing that's going to be interesting, too, in terms of that identity and that sense of identity
yeah.
that you and I talked about earlier this week. When you've had to move as many pieces as they've had, I think it's really difficult to figure out which way you're going to set the sails. And now you can kind of see them getting healthy. You see the signs of it, with Jared Cook coming back to practice, James Starks being back in practice. Those are two guys that change the complexity of an offense when they're back out on the field. And now when you look at this matchup with Tennessee, assuming that Ty Montgomery and Randall Cobb came out okay out of that game this past weekend, that's where your bread and butter is. That's where we've seen them have the most success. And I would have to think if you have Cobb on the field now for four quarters, that's going to make a pretty big impact on how exactly the offense, in which direction it tilts.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I want to continue this discussion about Tennessee's defense and Dick LeBeau that you mentioned. Let's get back to that after the break, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, it's time for a Hodkowitz history lesson. Dick LeBeau and Dom Capers, you talk about two coaches who have been around this league for a long time and know each other quite well. So why don't you give us the rundown on these two defensive coordinators and their backgrounds?
Well, first off, in terms of modern defense in the NFL, and I'm not a historian, I'm not, Cliff Kristol. I'm not going to sit here and act like I know everything. But I think when you look at LeBeau and Capers, you're talking about two of the most innovative, game-changing defensive coordinators in modern NFL history. You go back to the mid-90s, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the two together developing the zone blitz scheme, Capers as the coordinator and LeBeau at that time as the defensive backs coach. That was a game changer. And now you look at today's NFL and how that has grown in prevalence. You look at Chicago and Vic Fangio, who's a disciple of Capers, and the different ways that that's been used. It all started with those two and an idea that, you can be unpredictable and you don't know where the pressure is going to come from. You don't know who's going to be dropping on any given play. The system's changed. And I think that's the most impressive thing. You look at Dom now, I believe at 66 years old, 65 years old.
Yeah.
And now LeBeau at 79 years young. The way that they've been able to adjust that scheme and make it work in a pass-oriented NFL, I think speaks volumes about them and how adaptable that scheme really was.
Yeah, these are two coaches that that know each other quite well. They're sort of been looked at in some ways as two peas in a pod with the as you say, the way they developed that scheme with the Steelers in the early 90s. They both had a very strong hand in it. But even as much as you say that the scheme has adapted and had to change over the years, many of the principles of the scheme are still the same. It changes depending on your personnel, and it changes based on the evolution of offenses and whatnot in the NFL. But the principles of the zone blitz and what you're trying to do to an offense and the way you're trying to confuse an offense and not be predictable, all of that is you know, really where it starts.
And you talk about two guys in terms of really putting in the time, earning their pension, so to speak. We were just discussing this beforehand. I mean, LeBeau has been in the NFL since 1959 in some capacity.
When he was drafted as a player. Yeah.
With the Detroit Lions, and obviously became a Hall of Fame defensive back. And his contributions to the game, I think a lot of people will forget that he actually was with the Green Bay Packers for four seasons on Bart Starr's staff. His first time he actually got a defensive backs coaching position in the NFL. So there are ties in with that as well in terms of his roots in Green Bay. But certainly getting back to the point that you made, when you look at Capers and how that system's developed over the years and what has kind of been the core principles of it, stopping the run, pressuring the quarterback, generating turnovers, both of them have won Super Bowls with that approach as defensive coordinators. And the fact that now both of those schemes, once again, you know, we're not sure how many more times those two guys will be matching up with each other. That's pretty special that it's going to happen again in Nashville.
Yeah, for sure. These types of coaching matchups, I think, are intriguing. Neither one is the head coach of the team currently, but both have been head coaches in the league and have had, you know, their ups and downs certainly as head coaches. And I'm impressed. You can't almost hear from any defensive player who's played for a Dom Capers or a Dick LeBeau who doesn't have the utmost respect and calls that guy a coach that you like to play for and that you want to play for.
Right. And looking at, it's funny, I'm on Wikipedia right now. Ron Jaworski had a tremendous quote that's kind of pinpointed out of there. Dick LeBeau is arguably the best ever to coach defense. He has done it on such a consistent basis for over a long period of time. That is the trademark of the zone blitz, the consistency aspect of it. Now, obviously, both of those guys are going to want to go into Sunday's game being consistent, so only one will be able to prevail. But I think it's going to be a really fun matchup to see those two schemes, how they interact against the opposing quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we throw it to a break, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business here. At home or here in the stands, we all know that Green Bay fans give it their all, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky chicken broccoli cheese. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford next to Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, before we go, let's touch on the medical report, the health report for the Packers. It's still somewhat early in the week. We have to see how some things shake out. But we saw Corey Linsley step in for J.C. Treader at center. By all indications, that transition went fairly smoothly. And for playing in his first game in quite a while since last January, Linsley seemed to hold up just fine. You had mentioned before, looks like Ty Montgomery and Randall Cobb both came out of the Colts game no worse for wear with regards to their injuries and the limited workload that they were on. And then you look at a couple of other guys on offense, running back James Starks and tight end Jared Cook, who got back into the practice routine a little bit last week. The word is at this point that their practice workload will ramp up a little bit, and maybe it's wait and see if they'll be available to play this week or if that's still down the road.
Well, and those two guys specifically, Mike, the biggest thing was Mike McCarthy saying that neither one of them had any setbacks, you know, in those rehabs, that James Starks had made a lot of progress, did quite a bit towards the end of the week. We heard Ben Sermons, the running backs coach, also discuss with the media this last week that a lot of that was on him in terms of trying to keep him out of some of those drills to be conscious of him and make sure that he's good to go. But I want to go back to one point you made earlier with when you had Corey Linsley back and you get Quentin Rollins back from the groin injury.
That's right. Yeah.
Linsley specifically, as you said, hadn't played in a game since last January, didn't have a training camp. Everything he's done, while he did get the 2 weeks to practice, has been really relegated to the mental reps aspect of it and the strength and conditioning side of things. For him to come back, and I know as McCarthy said, it was a solid, sound first performance, areas that they certainly want to improve on, but that was a tough spot to be in.
Yeah.
To have to not even get activated to the roster and, you know, wait to get back, just to get thrown right back into the fire. This goes back to what we've talked about so many times. There was those years, Mike, where the Packers didn't have a center. They didn't know what was going to happen with that position. Well, they have two guys that could start for a lot of teams in the NFL right now. And when you have Lindsley dealing with the hamstring injury all summer, now you have Treader have this knee injury flare up. That's the benefit of having both of those guys who really can step in there and have that comfort level with the offensive line and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, for sure. And make no mistake, 2 weeks of practice in the regular season is not the same as 2 weeks of practice in training camp.
Yeah.
We talked last week. Lindsley actually only had two, I believe, padded practices heading into that game because his first week back at practice was the week of the Thursday night game and the Packers
didn't practice
in pads. And so then it was only one padded practice per week for the next 2 weeks leading up to the Colts game. On the defensive side, Quentin Rollins seemed to, as far as we know, came out no worse for wear with regards to his injury. And we'll see maybe if within a couple of weeks down the road, we don't know for sure, but maybe Demaryius Randall at some point comes back and even with those Sam Shields on IR, the Packers' defensive backfield starts to look a little bit more like what it looked at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and obviously Micah Hyde's status will also impact that. But when you look
Absolutely.
At Rollins, so important for him to get back, get through that game, stay healthy, and be able to get his feet back under him. Because when you are off for that amount of time, jumping back in there, being the number one cornerback is not an easy role. I thought that was the biggest takeaway from that game, is him being tested and being able to overcome that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. You can find the team account at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.